know that Jesus kicked the devil out of heaven, so he couldn't whip Jesus in heaven. And then Jesus comes down to gets in an earth body, and the devil says, I got him in an earth suit. I've got him like Adam. I can whip him here. And he waited for his weakest moment in a wilderness, and Jesus whipped him there with the word of God. And then the Bible says he would come back at a later time, and Jesus said, I've already got that time planned. I'm going to go to his house and whip him. It's one thing you beat somebody up out in the woods somewhere, but when they come up in your house to whip you, and that's what Jesus did in the death, burial, and resurrection. He went into the presence of the enemy and defeated him. The Bible says that the enemy was defeated in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that enters into the holy place for us, but baby, it is the blood of Jesus that comes against the power of hell that would come against your family. It's the same blood. Now, somebody said, well, yeah, is it real blood or is it, you know, ghostly blood? Well, you know, there was real blood there. I mean, there was erythrocytes and leukocytes and plasma. There was a blood there. But we know it didn't come from Joseph. And all of you physicians and nurses know that. It didn't come from Joseph because the blood's going to come from the seed. And the seed was the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say there was something very special about that blood. I don't know. It looked any different. But I know one thing. It had something in it, and it was there for us, and it is an eternal blood because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus took that blood into the holy place. So we find Jesus not only whipping the devil with the blood, but also he is the offerer and the offering. He's the priest and the sacrifice. This is why, just to help y'all, that's why you say Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last, because he is priest and sacrifice. He's offerer and offering. He is the first and the last. It's not just first and the last because he's Jesus. He's first and the last because of his priesthood. Hallelujah. He was the offerer, but offered himself. Y'all still with me? So we're going to be talking about that blood of Jesus, the power of that blood, the anointing that's in the blood of Jesus. Let me give you 20 things. Last week, I think I gave you like maybe 10 or 11 things about the significance of the blood. Let me just give you about 20 thoughts real quick. I'm just going to just kind of machine gun them to you about the blood or what the blood of Jesus does. And I won't give you the scripture reference, but I'll just tell you what it does. Ready? It remits sin. It gives life. It causes us to dwell in Christ. It means that Jesus purchased the church. It means that Jesus came, became our atonement. It justifies us. It redeems us. It brings those that were far near to God. It grants us forgiveness. It brings peace and reconciliation. It has obtained eternal redemption. It cleanses our conscience. You need to hear me today because we're going to have a cleansing of conscience in this room. We're going to become more blood conscious than we are sin conscious. How many of you know you've got an accuser of the brethren? The Bible says there's an accuser of the brethren, and he accuses you day and night. And the Bible lets you know that the accusations are about what you've done. If the devil can make you think about what you've done and get you conscious of your doing, he'll make you think your doing is your being. Look at me, baby. You didn't get saved because of what you do. You don't stay saved because of what you do. Oh, you don't have to amen me now. I'm just telling you the truth. It is the blood of Jesus that brings you in. It is the blood of Jesus that keeps you in. It's not about us doing and being. And that's what the devil comes. He says, look at you. Look what you did. Look what you said. How many of you know right now he's saying that to you? There's people sitting here, right? I know I'm right. I'm going to preach a message on your deliverance today, and God's going to wipe your conscience. He's going to take sin consciousness out and put in blood consciousness that you can see who you are in Christ instead of who the devil says you are. Well, in 6 months, my conscience will get clean. No, it won't get clean in 6 months. It'll get cleaned right now by the blood. Look at me, let me tell you something. I don't know how that happens. And there are a lot of people say, yeah, but you know, we can't trust that individual because look what they did. Look, I'm gonna help you right now. There are a lot of things I don't understand, but here's what I do understand. You can hold their feet to the fire for the next 10 years, but when Jesus applies his blood, the conscience is cleansed of the sin nature. The old man dies, the new man comes to life. It is the devil that keeps you conscious of sin. That ain't the Holy Ghost. If you would get more blood conscious than you are sin conscious, you'd walk in victory. And you'd talk that victory. So we're going to touch on that today. There are several places you can find that in your Bible. One of them being Hebrews 9:14, but we'll see some more. It cleanses your conscience from dead works. How many's done something stupid? Anybody? How many of you know when you do stupid stays with you? That's the one thing they don't have medicine for, stupid. I mean, you got to get over that, it takes a whole other issue. And I don't know how y'all do, but I've done some dumb stuff in my life. Can I tell you right now that there's stuff that's under the blood, that I've put under the blood, that Jesus' blood covers, that the devil will still come and talk to me about it, and he'll say, what about that and what about that? Can I help y'all on something right now? I can't make that any different. It is what it is in the past. But if I become blood conscious, I can tell him I have nothing to do with that. That is in my history. That is dead. It's under the blood. And that's not who I am. I've made up my mind, y'all, that I'm going to get conscious of the blood of Jesus instead of the sin of the world. Yeah, but Pastor, you got to preach sin. I'm going to help you on this right now. If we preach more blood, we'd have less sin. No, you're going to get people living out there on that greasy grace. I know, that's what Peter said. Peter said that in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, you got to watch Paul. Because the stuff he writes, people twist it so they can sin. Now, you can do whatever you want to. Peter said they're doing that, and they did it when they had the Old Testament. People are just going to do what they're going to do. See, y'all look at me, let me tell you something. You're going to do what you're going to do. There are people going to live like hell and tell me they're going to heaven. They're going to do what they're going to do. Here's what I'm telling our house. I want you to get conscious of the blood of Jesus. I want you to begin to see that when you got born again, you were washed in the blood. You were made white by the blood. You were dark in sin, red in sin, or black in sin, whatever it is. But the red blood, according to the Word of God, washed me and made me white as snow. It is the white garment that we have. Jesus is coming back washed in the blood. Old songs we used to sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. Nothing but the blood. And I'm not saying we're going back to that. I'm not saying that. But here's what I am saying. We better find the blood. You're in an age and living right now in a time where you better know something about the blood. And people are going to take anything they want to and live how they want to live with it. But I'm making up my mind, if I got the blood of Jesus, that I am holy before him. That I am not contaminated, so why would I want to get contaminated? That I have the blood of Jesus that's cleansing, that is progressive. When I got up this morning, the blood was on me. When I go to bed tonight, the blood will be on me. When I get up in the morning, the blood will be cleansing me. But one of the things you've got to see about the blood, it operates as you see the blood in the Word and you speak the Word. The word blood and the use of blood in the Bible is over 700 times, over 20 times in the book of Hebrews about the sacrificial blood. I'm just helping you right now. The blood is tremendously important, but we want money and we want tongues and we want houses and we want health. Look, guys, I want all that. Of course I do. Who doesn't want more money? If you don't, give me yours. I mean, I'm good with that. Who doesn't want better health? We want those things. But I'm just going to back you up to this one. You get none of that without the blood of Jesus. You don't get healed without the blood. You don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit without the blood. You don't get money without the blood. You don't get a house without the blood. Everything pins on the blood of Christ. And once you get a hold of that, it'll change the way you look at everything. So let me just get these rest of these 20 out. The blood speaks. We talked about that last week. The blood gives me access to the Holy of Holies. The blood sanctifies me. Look here. See, some of y'all think you sanctify yourself. If I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't go there, and if I, You can't sanctify you. You have nothing to do with sanctification. You're set apart unto God. If you ever get that, then you won't have to go set yourself apart from that, because you're going to stay apart because of this separation. If you can understand that you're sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Amen? We got too many people trying to work on sanctification instead of work on being sanctified. They're trying to find a work to get sanctified. Touch someone and say, I am sanctified. Yeah, hey, don't let them look at you mean. Don't let them look at you mean like you're not really sanctified, because I was with you yesterday. Look at them right now and say, I am sanctified. If you're born again, the blood of Jesus working on you, you're being sanctified every morning you get up. You are justified every day you wake up. Every day you open your eyes, you're justified. You're sanctified. You are been made righteous, and all of that's by the blood. None of it comes because we're pretty, we make a lot of money, or we attend a certain church. So it goes on to say this: the blood cleanses me. The blood makes me complete for every work. The blood bears witness on the earth with the Spirit and the water. It is a means for Jesus to wash me. It is by the blood that we overcome the accuser of the brethren. That's 20 things the blood does for you. Just in those few things, we ought to be happy. Amen? So open your Bible. Let me just take a few more minutes with you, if you don't mind. Let's go to a couple places in Romans. I want to go to Romans 1:17, and we'll just briefly kind of spot that one. It really comes out of Habakkuk 2, and you don't have to go there. We'll end up in Romans 3:25. But in Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. And the just shall live by faith. Say, the just shall live by faith. Okay, now let me help you on this. We got to figure out what we have faith in. Can you read? Let me read this out of the Phillips translation. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but let me just jump ahead to the Phillips translation in another place in the Bible. Let me see if I can find it here. It's in the area of overcoming. This is Phillips' translation, and it's of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, the Bible says it this way: and they, that is us, the believers, overcome him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let me just stop and say this. They overcome him how? By the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's what we do. Word of his testimony is all one thing. I like to read different translations. I'd rather read a different translation than I had to read a commentary. So here's another translation of that same verse. It says it this way: now they have conquered him, talking about the devil, through the blood of the Lamb. Now listen to this: and through the word to which they bore witness. Do you hear the difference? They didn't overcome him with the word of their testimony. They overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and with the word that they bore witness to. It takes the blood, the word, and the witness to defeat the devil. So you got to ask yourself the question, what was it that they talked about? The Bible's very clear. They confessed and testified about the blood that they found in the word, and that was their testimony. Did y'all catch all that? How does the blood work? How are they overcoming by the blood? They're overcoming by the blood, by what they've learned in the word that becomes their testimony. So the devil ain't got no prayer, if I can put some negatives together. The devil doesn't have a prayer, y'all, if I've got a testimony of what the word says that the blood is doing for me. When he comes and says, I'm taking your family, I'm going to say, you're not touching my house, because I put the blood of Jesus over my door. My kids are protected by the blood of the Lamb. I've got scripture that says I'm born again by that blood, protected by that blood, delivered by that blood. What whipped the devil with Jesus was the word. Not just the word written, but the word as he spoke it. Amen? Just trying to get you to get the picture that you're not going to defeat the devil simply because you read the Bible. Now, in Romans 3, and if you looked at verse 25, the Word of God says this, whom God set forth, talking about Jesus, he talks about the redemption we have in verse 24, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That word propitiation, the same word for mercy seat, and some people don't like this, but I'm going to give you what they don't like. That means, propitiation means that I have had a reprieve from the wrath of God. Now, some people don't like it, the propitiatory work of Christ. They're going to say no because God doesn't have wrath against Jesus. No, no, he didn't have wrath against Jesus. But y'all, I'm going to tell you something. The wrath of God is against mankind. Unless somebody makes a sacrifice, the wrath of God is against us. Do you remember in the Old Testament, there had to be a sacrifice. A priest had to make a sacrifice. It covered the people up for 1 year. And if they sinned in between, they had to come back and make more sacrifices. But once a year, a priest came in and he made a sacrifice. Something else I like about sacrifices is in the Old Testament, when you sinned, oh, this is going to feel good. When you sinned in the Old Testament and you brought the sacrifice, the priest didn't look at you. Are you not amen me now? See, because y'all used to looking at people and telling how bad they are. Look what they did. I heard what you did. Y'all not amen me now. What happened? Y'all on my side, now you against me. Isn't that where we're living? Isn't that I'm telling the truth? When people sin, we look at what they did. And then we blame them for what they did. So when they come to Jesus, oh, you ain't amening now. But they got to make more prayer than that one did because they did worse than him. We set that up in our American mindset because we had democracy here and we got to make everybody do something and one's worse than the other, so he's got to have a worse punishment because that's justice. Can I help y'all on something? You do not find one time in the Old Testament sacrifice that a priest looked at the sin or asked about the sin. He always looked at the sacrifice. If the sacrifice was right, if the sacrifice was perfect, if the sacrifice didn't have a spot on it, then he would take that sacrifice, and the sacrifice became the sin, and the sacrifice alleviated the sin from the man. It was never about the man. It was always about the sacrifice. The book of Hebrews says we have a better sacrifice. Excuse me just a minute. We have a better sacrifice. Peter said he's got precious blood, spotless blood. He's got blood that has no contamination in it. He is the spotless lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Can I tell you something? God's not looking at what you did last week. That's your husband, your wife, and your kids, and your mom and your daddy. Your aunt and your uncles. That crew. It's your church member sitting two seats from you. Going to remind you of what you did last week. Let me help you on something. If you'd get over other people's stuff and believe that the sacrifice is good enough to forgive any sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness and to give me a pure conscience. My conscience is my enemy. The consciousness where I have to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And when I do wrong, my conscience condemns me. But my Bible says God doesn't look at Mike. He looks at Jesus and says Jesus is the sacrifice for those issues. Somebody ought to amen me right now because what you did doesn't stop him. You don't believe I'm right about this? Just do what you did stupid one more time. And you'll hear someone say, they did it again. Now, I'm not condoning sinning. I'm just bragging on the sacrifice. I'm just tired of me thinking that I'm doing something that's saving me. I don't do anything that can save me. I'm not the sacrifice. I'm not pure. I'm not spotless. I am not the Lamb of God. There is one who is offering an offering, and he's the one that God looks at for my justice. You're not in heavenly places because you sang good this morning. You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I dare you to read the Gospels. I dare you to read the Gospels. The Gospels will tell you time and time again, over 100 times, will tell you you're in him. In whom? In Christ. By Christ. From Christ. You are living in a prepositional gospel that it's not about you. It's about him. And as soon as you start living that way, then you can understand sanctification. Oh, I know I grew up in a holiness church. We didn't cuss. We didn't smoke. We didn't chew. We didn't go with the girls that do. We just walk right and spit white. Just saying. We had all of that in front of us. Now, let me help you in this. I'm not saying go do that. Listen to me. I'm not saying go do that. I'm saying that is not going to make the difference in what's going to get you to heaven. That's not going to make the difference in what sets you apart. You've got to let what I do be something separate from who I be. Because if I find out who I am, my being, then I won't have to worry about my doing. Because there are things I will not do because of who I am. And that takes the blood. Oh, it's easier to make you a list. Anybody can keep a list for 30 days. You're not saved for 30 days, baby. You're saved for eternity. The blood of Jesus, look at me, the blood of Jesus wasn't shed for you so you could come down to an altar and say yes to Jesus and then be back out in the bars in 3 weeks. That's not what it's about. It's not about you coming in and then leaving and getting mad at God. That's not what it's about. You're saved for an eternity. Look at me. When Jesus' blood is applied to you, it's never applied for 30 days. Let's see how they do. No. The church takes care of that. Harbor Freight's got a better return policy than the church. I bought a nail gun from Harbor Freight. I was using that nail gun. A nail got stuck in it backwards. I took it back to them. I said, y'all, I can't fix this thing. They said, don't worry about it. Go get a new one. I thought, well, what about my receipt? Don't need a receipt. Go get a new one. I thought, what if the church did that? What? What if the church did that? What if we made up our mind when somebody comes down to this altar? That's an eternal thought right there. That's an eternal salvation right there. They're not leaving this thing. They're in this thing. They're locked up and tied up and covered up in the blood of the Lamb. They're here. Instead of us looking with a suspicious eye, wondering when they're going to fall again. We can't have a revival until we get our hearts right. And my heart has got to be focused on the blood of Jesus. See, some of y'all right now are trying to get me to focus on something else. Oh, you got to focus on the love of God. Let me tell you something. The love of God was demonstrated in the blood of Jesus. Everything is in the blood. Doesn't the Bible say life is in the blood? Now, some of y'all are going to say, no, life is in the bone. Because marrow produces the blood. Well, you know, that's a thing you have to discover when you're looking through biology and trying to discover humankind. You'll find out that blood is a tissue, but it's a liquid. Right? Your nurse is going to help me? It's the only tissue that's a liquid, right? Do you know the red corpuscles? Y'all know those? Those ones are the ones that are about 400 to 500 million to every cubic millimeters, how many they are. I mean, they're just crammed full red corpuscles. You know what the red corpuscles do? Just for a little bit of science for some of you guys. The red corpuscles are in your body so they can take oxygen to every place on your body. The blood goes everywhere. I preach myself happy just saying that. The blood goes everywhere. It takes life everywhere. It takes it to my nice parts and it takes it to my ugly parts. It takes life to every part of the body according to science. I love the red corpuscles because not only do they take food and nourishment and oxygen to the things, they pack up all the bad stuff. Come on now. They get all of the garbage and they pack it up and they take it out with them. They go and give something new and take something away. Am I not preaching to y'all yet? The blood of Jesus is in you to bring life and that life more abundant and to take out the trash. That happens before you know anything about getting yourself right. It starts happening immediately. How did I get delivered of that? Because the blood went in with some life and took away some trash. White corpuscles, on the other hand, there are not that many of them. There are tens of thousands to where there are hundreds of millions of the other. But it's interesting about the white corpuscles. If you ever go to a doctor and they check your blood and they see that your white blood count is elevated, they're going to tell you something right away. They're going to say, you've got an infection in your body. I'm going to say, an infection in my body. How do you know that? Because when everything is okay, the white corpuscles are at this normal low level. But as soon as we see them jump up, then we know right away that there's something else in your body. And I'd say, well, why is that? It's because they go to take it out. They go to kill it. They go to get it out of the body. Your body is created to heal itself. And that's why white corpuscles multiply. They go to the battle. They fight the enemy. They die, and they're ejected. Excuse me just a minute. But Jesus came down on an infection of sin and showed himself greater. Came into where we could do nothing. Came into every sin clean. I don't get this. Don't understand it. It's bigger than I am. But every sin I ever did and every sin I would do had to be covered one time. Your Bible says he paid the price of sin once for all. He didn't pray it once and then I got to do it again because Joe Blow jacked up and I got to go over and help him up. He said, I'm doing it one time. I'm doing it one time. Look at me. He said, I got your history. How many of y'all glad he got your history? Yeah. Now this is where y'all going to get mad at me because some of y'all going to say it's a license of sin. You can say what you want to. Here's what I'm glad of. I'm glad that his redemption's tomorrow for me. I'm glad he died once for all my sin. He did a complete job. He didn't die once for my history. He didn't die once for the bad stuff. He died once for everything. And you need to shout because when you did the last stupid thing you did, it was because his blood went in front of you to cover the sin that you would commit. Pastor, I wish you'd explain that better. Y'all, look, it's as confusing to me as it is to you on something that big. You got to believe it. I mean, that's what faith is. And you got to have faith in his blood. You've got to have faith in his blood. The Word of God says this in Romans 3:25 in the New Living Translation. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life by the shedding of blood. Where's your faith to be? Well, I got my faith in Jesus. I'm glad you do. But if you don't have it in his blood, you're just talking religion. The gospel is not Jesus. Gospel is not Jesus. The gospel is death, burial, and resurrection. If you don't have death, burial, and resurrection, you just got the Son of God. If you don't have death, burial, and resurrection, you got Jesus coming down living in a dirt body. But as soon as he died, he gave up and let his blood out. He went down and whooped the devil. He came out of the grave and he said, I've got to go. I got something else to do in heaven. I've got to get into a place and apply my blood there for an eternity of sin. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm saying this. My hope has got to be in the blood of Jesus. If he didn't shed his blood, you can't shed your sin. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews, y'all got a couple more minutes? I'll give me four. How many give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. All right. I know, right? That's my man right there. Will, my man. Hebrews 9:22 says this, according to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. That's according to the law. And without the shedding of blood, listen to this, there is no remission of sin. There is, are y'all with me? There is no remission of sin. If I just confess Jesus as Lord, let me help you on this. I know a lot of people just going to holler the name of Jesus and there's going to be some redemption for them. I get that. But the truth is, the first thing you better know about Jesus is his blood. We get somebody saved and we want to teach them how to eat, what to do and not do, what to say and not say, where to go or not go. What if when they got saved, we said, what do you know about the blood? And they said, I don't have any clue about the blood. What if we started right there and said, do you know that there's a God in heaven who sent his son? And not only did he die, he applied his blood to your life. He's cleansed you. He's made you pure. He's made you righteous in right standing. He has justified you by his blood. You'll save yourself a lot of talking by telling people about the blood. Quit worrying about them going to go sin with it. Right? That's man feeling like he's got to sew everybody up. Here's what I know. Jesus' death not only saved me and covered past, but it'll never be repeated again. Because it automatically works in my future. If it were once for now, then you'd have to do it once again. But if it's once for all, then somehow you got to figure out that blood's in your tomorrow. Priest with their animals pacified, Jesus satisfied. There's a difference when you present something to God like he did. Amen? The Bible says it this way, Hebrews 9:12. Amplified version. He, Jesus, went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for us. You are completely saved. You are completely saved from sin, from bondage, from guilt, from sickness, from disease, from poverty, from the curses. You have been completely set free. Look at me. You didn't get saved to get to heaven. You got saved to become a child of God completely. I got saved, but I got to get delivered. If I could tell you about the blood, you'd see you are set free. He completely saves. Well, I confess Jesus is Lord at a revival, but I'm still drinking, you know, but I know Jesus loves me. Look, he loves you if you don't ever confess him. Never been about his love. But what I know about my salvation makes a difference in what I say about it and what I do about it. And you can't get doing in front of being. When you get doing in front of being, you're God. I just did. I said, you know, if you have to make me do stuff, then my doing is my salvation because you told me, then you're God. But if it's being, Michael, you have been delivered. You, Joe, you've been set free. The blood of Jesus didn't come down and get you a ticket to heaven and so you can bypass hell. The blood of Jesus came down to set you free, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you up as a son and a child of God and a king and a priest unto God. He didn't just save you a little bit. He saved you completely. Listen, salvation is so big that Paul said, salvation is for you and your family to that Philippian jailer. That's how big salvation is. That's what the blood of Jesus would do to your family. Amen. If you'd quit looking at them in the bar and start praying them under the blood of Jesus, maybe you could be a little bit better off. The examination is never about you. It's always about the sacrifice. Isn't that a good thought? So write this down, Malachi 1, 7, and 8, because God rebuked them because they brought lame and blind sacrifices. He didn't rebuke them because they were doing wrong. He rebuked them because their sacrifices wouldn't work. God always looks at the sacrifice. See, some of y'all don't like that right now. Some of you don't like it because that's what you've thought all of your life. Look at me. God is looking at Jesus to even hang around you. Jesus didn't save you and leave. The Bible says there's a washing of regeneration. He's on me. The blood of Christ is applied to me by a resident God in Jesus, by the Holy Ghost. He's applying the blood to me every day. In other words, my salvation is more than skin deep. It's something that is every day moving on me. It's not what I do. It's who does for me. It's not me God's looking at, it's the sacrifice. What makes you sit in heavenly places is not because you read three chapters out of the Bible today. Oh, it's good that you read. But you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You didn't win over sin because you didn't drink last week. You won over sin because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm glad you didn't drink last week. But if you keep looking at you, you're going to be a failure. I'm going to help you on this one, and I will shut up on this one. If you look at you, I will guarantee you spiritual failure. Guaranteed. Because you have now become Savior. And you're just dirt enough to become proudful. And as soon as pride, y'all want to finish it for me? As soon as pride comes up in me, then there's failure guaranteed. Your Bible says pride comes before a fall. There's no question about it. And probably the last time you fell was because of pride. Some of the times you fell in sin is because you're proud you didn't do it last week. You didn't do it last week, but you're doing it this week because you was proud you didn't do it last week. I'm just trying to help y'all live in victory from week to week and day to day. Say complete salvation. All right, let's put the confession up here. I'm really closing on this. Come on. That's my 8 minutes now. Put that last confession up. We got it? Can y'all read that? Okay, no. Move where we can. If you want a copy of this, I'll send it to you. This is just a good confession for you. All right, we're gonna practice confessing over ourselves. You ready? You want me to just read it to you and then y'all look at it with me? Oh, you're going to read it with me? Okay. Okay, ready? Jesus Christ was a perfect sacrifice, and he made me perfect before God. He took his blood into the Holy of Holies and placed it on the mercy seat. The blood is speaking today, saying mercy, forgiveness, acceptance, healing, deliverance are mine. I apply faith in the blood of Jesus, over my family, over my mind, over my thoughts, over my past, over my future, over my conscience. His blood cleanses me from sin in all its forms and manifestations, so I will not be guilty, condemned, or accused. I have peace with God through the blood of the cross. I am blameless in his sight. My faith is in nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.